PIO.
Good morning. We'll call the June 18th, 2013 Sussex County Council meeting to order. First thing, Mr. Lawson, is approval of the agenda.
Yes, good morning, Mr. President. Thank you. We do need to amend the agenda under Hal Godwin, Deputy County Administrator, removing item number one, wastewater agreement. We've just been notified that we need additional time, the engineering department, to discuss that agreement, so we'd like to strike that from the agenda this morning, please.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of June 11th. Any corrections, questions, or concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
There is none, Mr. President.
Anyone from council have correspondence? Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. A few weeks ago, the county council discussed trash issues throughout the county on mostly back roads and property. And we asked the Director of Assessment, Mr. Eddie Parker, to reach out to the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control to discuss their program. Mr. Parker invited Mr. Michael Costello with the Deneric Trash Control Program to join us this morning to give council some background and information on their program and also to see if the council would entertain the county helping the state or doing something else beyond that. So, Mr. Costello, welcome. Thank you for coming in today. We have a slideshow, and we also have the YouTube video of the program, but it looks like the slideshow's up first. So, it's up to the lieutenant.
You do the slideshow, or I'm sorry, the YouTube video first.
You know what's nice? That there's not so much smoking. People used to dump their ashtrays in the street. Remember that? But it's not as much anymore.
Yes. In the state of Delaware, the law provides that you can get rid of your trash or your solid waste in three different manners. You can either take it to the dump yourself and they give you a receipt, you can recycle it, or you can hire a licensed solid waste contractor who comes to your house on Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever and they pick up your trash. So if you dispose of it on the roadside or a ditch bank or anything else, we consider that dumping. Well, here in this area, you can see that we've got like a mattress and the entire makeup of an old bed. And as you look at it, the first thing you figure is that you can't put this in the trunk of a car, which is great for the for this area that we have a camera deployed. So I can go back to that camera that I have set up here and start reviewing all the photographs that were taken of the vehicles using this. And I'll look for this debris in one of those cars, whether it's a pickup truck or somebody has their trunk propped open and you can see this stuff. And then I'll get the registration off the vehicle that was used to transport this, and then I'll make the arrest based on the ownership of the vehicle. Several years ago, the law was actually changed that allowed us, if we were not able to identify the person who committed the dumping, but we can identify the owner of the vehicle that was used to commit that dumping, we can pursue the owner of the vehicle. Prior to the inception of the camera program, about the only way that we had to combat these roadside dumpings is to actually put the rubber gloves on and go through the trash and try to find a piece of mail that might identify where the trash came from. And we still do that for the most part. But with the inception of the cameras, we have another method to find out how the debris got out there. One of the typical cameras that we use are just these little small game cameras, and they're just small cameras. They range in price between about $140 up to $250, depending on what you want to do. And we'll use these cameras. The battery life is really good in them. They use a common SD card, which we can put in our laptop computers, which we carry around in our police vehicles. And we will deploy these in areas such as where we are today. The program is still evolving. It started out with just two cameras in an isolated industrial area up in Newcastle County, and it's spread statewide right now. And we have just a couple of officers that are actually handling the responsibilities of it. But I would say that we are nearing the century mark as far as the amount of arrests that we've made on this. The minimum fine for a roadside dumping, if we were if we catch somebody is $500 plus court costs, and the court can order remediation of the site as well, which means they have to come back and clean up their mess. If you witness a dumping in progress, is to take down a description of the vehicle, the person, and the tag number if possible, and call the Environmental Crimes Hotline at 1-800-662-8802.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me to come to talk to you today, Council, Administration, citizens of Sussex County. I have been a resident of Sussex County just about my entire adult life, and it's a pleasure to come here and share with you what I do professionally to help some of these problems. My name is Lieutenant Mike Costello. I work for Denrick's Environmental Crimes Unit. What the Environmental Crimes Unit does is we take care of all of the regulatory and the statute law enforcement for the state when it comes to solid waste, hazardous waste, and a lot of other types of industry. We do truck enforcement and many other regulatory type functions. We have 10 members within our unit. We're spread out through the state. Two of them are administrative, myself and then the chief, and then we have 8 additional road units. We also serve as the state's emergency response team, so we handle chemical spills and releases, water pollutants, and things like that. We have a variety of duties, so we're very, very busy, and the Trash Stoppers campaign is just one segment of what we do. So this is not a full-time endeavor. It's just something that we take as a collateral duty. The digital surveillance, the best way to define that, it's the use of available technology and assistance from the public to identify those responsible for the improper and illegal disposal of solid waste in our roadways. We gain the authority for how we're combating this under Title VII, Section 6025, and it lays out the ways that as a resident or a commercial user in the state that you're allowed to get rid of your solid waste. You either take it to the dump, you either hire a licensed solid waste contractor, who we give a permit to, or you recycle it, pretty much what was covered in the video that you saw. In addition to that, there's a provision in 6025 that allows us to go after the owner of a motor vehicle if the operator or the perpetrator of the roadside dumping is not known. So there are many times that we're not able to find out. There's no leads in the debris that we find along the roadway, but if we get a witness or we get an image based on the cameras that we put out there that shows the registration plate for the vehicle, it's the easiest and the most effective route for us to make an apprehension or to make an arrest for the dumping. The history of the surveillance program, it's a lot of the problems that we see in and around the state. The dumpings are occurring in remote locations. There's very little witness information, and there's really no leads or any solvability to some of them. So about the best we can do is call DLDOT if it's in the states right away and ask them to come clean it up. But you can imagine that there's a large cost to that, which oftentimes gets deferred over to the taxpayers of the state. So we really try to do what we can in order to solve these crimes. Not every site is suitable for a camera deployment. The program is not designed to catch every person who flicks a cigarette butt out the window or every McDonald's wrapper, even though we would like to do that. Those are offenses that need justification or that need attention paid to them as well. But what we're looking for is sites that get continually dumped on, dead-end roads, industrial sites. We're trying to do the best that we can that we put our resources in an area that are likely to provide fruit for us. We also need to be able to provide a way to conceal these cameras. If you can imagine, if we put a camera out there and it's readily identifiable, somebody may take it, or we're not going to get these people. They'll go someplace else. Typical things that you may see in and around a county is like this. Somebody's cleaning out their house and you see the couch and some other things, and if you were to go through there, you may or may not find anything that would lead you back to the person who owned it. However, some of the things that we're trying to do is place these cameras in locations where we're monitoring the traffic that's using these roadways. The cameras in a week time may take 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 images. And then what we'll do during our patrol is we'll go down those roads and we'll find debris like this. We'll photograph it, just as we do here, and then we'll go back and we'll try to find the vehicle that was actually carrying that debris on the photographs that are stored on that camera. And it takes a lot of time to go through 5,000-6,000 images just to try to find this one. And as you can see here, we've got the tag number in that vehicle. So I can't tell you who was driving that vehicle, and I can't tell you who dumped the debris on the side of the road, but I can tell you who owns that vehicle. And under Delaware law, that's who I go after. Similarly, we find tires. Tires are a big problem. Right now, it's pretty much an unregulated material. As long as you don't burn them or bury them, you can pretty much stack what you want to, unless the county has regulatory effect over it or the fire marshals do. DENREC does not regulate the disposal or storage of tires. But when they end up on the side of the road like this, the best we can do is try to find somebody. You know, and that's where they're coming from. And I really only need one digit and a description of the vehicle, and I can find this guy. A burn barrel. There's nothing in there I'm going to be able to find that's going to lead me to anybody. But because of the cameras and the 4,000 or 5,000 pictures that we've taken of the vehicles that are using this roadway, we get them. So based on the registration on the vehicle, that's how we're pursuing it. It's the best tool that we have. Again, you see stuff like it almost makes you want to cry. We ask ourselves, why do people do this? And I can tell you based on my experience that it's because of convenience. Nobody is dumping on the side of the road to be mean. They do it because tomorrow morning they need that truck or that trailer empty to go back to work, or they got to return it to the owner. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. But we find the debris, and as you can see in this picture, we have the registration for the trailer, and it gives us an avenue to pursue them. It's just really, really heartbreaking. And then we get the live action photos. These are what I call the money shots. You know, can you argue with a photograph like this? I have never taken a case to court where the guy has asked me, "How did you know it was me?" They just assume that we got them red-handed. So, but you can't argue with this. So. And some of the times we have to, instead of still shots, we have to put up video clips. We program the cameras to take like 30-second or 45-second video clips, and then that helps us out a lot as well. But, I mean, this, how do you justify that? It's just, it's heartbreaking to see this kind of stuff happening. But these are the types of events, and this is what I'm doing is a collateral duty. It's meaningful. When I see stuff like this and I can do something about it, it really means something. Like I said, there's 10 members of the Environmental Crimes Unit, and we have statewide jurisdiction. We try to put the cameras out in an area where we don't have to worry about privacy. We don't have to worry about getting anybody's permission. It's in the states right away. And there are times where I have to put the cameras on private property, and I'll get written permission from the property owner to deploy that camera. And really what I'm looking for is I'm looking for the debris. I'm looking for the vehicle that was used to transport it there. If I can identify the person that was doing it, I'll go after them. But if I can't identify the perpetrator, I'll go after the owner of the vehicle. And with the 3-minute Trash Stoppers video and my presentation, I'm hoping that enlightened you a little bit about what the department's doing to help combat these roadside dumpings. And I'm available for any questions if you might have any.
Any questions of council?
One question.
Mr. Phillip.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Perfect. How much money are we going to get out of this guy that threw that couch out there?
$500.
All these hours you spent.
$500.
We will get that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, it goes back to the state's general fund, so I don't know how it trickles down from there.
Yeah, that was going to be my question.
But we're going to take $500 from him, from the intruder there.
Yeah, the court system will take care of that. My job is just to present
Well, I'm wondering if he gets more of a fine, the guy that was talking on his cell phone.
I don't know. And just to clarify a little bit of Title 7, Section 6025, it has a provision in there that the courts are not supposed to suspend any of that fine. There are many other fines in the state that the judge has the if they want to suspend part or all of it, they can do that. But the legislature has made it that that can't be suspended.
I agree.
Yeah, that was one of my concerns. You get the $500, and a lot of times in the county, you know, we collect certain fines or fees and permits. We target and earmark it for a certain, you know, area. It's a shame that money can't come back to help clean up, because these sites, it's just that one guy is usually a bunch of other stuff already there.
Yes.
Is it true? Years ago, I think we looked at it. when Eddie and I were discussing at the county level, and I think in Maryland they have a fine of about $1,000.
I'm not sure what the other states are doing, but I can tell you that about 6 years ago, that was a $100 fine. Mm-hmm. And when we were able to borrow some language from the traffic law that allowed us to pursue the owner of the vehicle, at that time they bumped up the fine to $500 as well. Now, if I catch them a second time, it's $1,000.
Okay.
And if we end up taking them to Superior Court, it could be anywhere between $5,000 to $25,000.
Do you have any idea how much money you're collecting of these fines, of the $500 clips? I mean, how many people do you arrest a year, approximately? You probably know that.
Of the 10.
I wasn't prepared to answer that question.
Do you get 100? Do you get 300? Do you get 1,000? I mean, well, is it a lot, or is it a small number?
No. It's probably a couple of hundred people that we're arresting a year on that, and not all of it is contributed to the camera program. A lot of it's just the old-fashioned way. It's just going through the trash and find it the way that we've been doing it over the years. But, you know, and then when you get to court, you have this burden of, you have to prove that they did it. But when you take an image in there like this.
Well, one more last thing I'll say. Just public awareness sometimes scares people. I mean, if you could actually publicize these arrests and how they were caught, and if everybody thought there's a camera on every road or every dump site, it probably would discourage us, like smokers. You know, they're always, you know, when you're not allowed to smoke, they've stopped smoking it. They've shifted to other places. But anyway, I'm just thinking public awareness might be very effective on your successes.
And we've started off with that video that you saw earlier. We're using that as a public awareness. But a lot of times we understand that the people who are actually committing these offenses, they're not watching the video.
They don't watch it, and they don't read papers. I mean, but get it on the radio sometimes, you know, in the news clips. And
Dan Gaffney.
Yeah, or something. I don't know about Dan Gaffney, but.
Any more questions, Councilor? Mr. Deaver?
Yes. My question was really about, you said that your division manages hazardous waste. And
we respond to hazardous waste incidents, yes.
It. Would you have anything to do with, say, for instance, if NRG was decided to get rid of some of that coal ash, move it out? Because someone told me that in the future it's going to be heavily regulated, but it can be taken out now without that. Do you know anything about that?
I believe our solid and hazardous waste management group does. Mm-hmm. I believe what they're doing there is under the auspices of a permit, so they're allowed to do what they're doing right now. If they were doing something outside the parameters of their permit, the regulatory section would come to us to launch an investigation.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think what the point was that some people would like them to do it now before, you know, before there is a extra heavy regulations on that, on transporting ash, coal ash.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Anything else from council? Mr. Lawson.
Sorry. Yeah. Mr. President, if I may, Lieutenant, do you have a breakdown of staff per county? Are there any officers that are only working in Sussex County, or how do you do your workforce?
The state, within our organization, the state is split up into two regions. It's the North region, which is just Newcastle County, and the South region, which is Kent and Newcastle County. And I have four members of the unit that I supervise that share responsibilities for both those counties. We work a rotating shift, so the two guys who were working Kent County last week may be working Sussex County this week. All of our members have very intimate knowledge of both the counties. They're very very well versed on the towns, and they have pretty good relationships with a lot of the leaders of the municipalities and so forth. So, but as far as any one person responsible for any one specific area, no, I'm responsible for all of that area.
Okay, thank
you. One more short question. As far as you were saying that there was a just let it go. I think you did answer that question. You did a very good job.
I appreciate that.
Mr. President, could I ask a question,
yes, sir,
please? Officer, is there some kind of link that Sussex County could have to their website so that if people contacted the county concerning issues like dumping of trash, that they would know how to contact you?
I'm sure that there is. Our information and education section, they could probably forward you that link that you could post on your web, and if they clicked on that, it would take them right to the department's website. The Trash Stoppers program actually, let me back up a little bit. There's not much that DENREC does that gets good public attention. And the trash, and this surveillance program was one of them. So the department capitalized on it. They started this Trash Stoppers campaign. And many times when I get a photograph of somebody who I can't prove who it is, or I wasn't able to get to the tag, we publish that photograph on the department's Trash Stoppers webpage, and we ask for the public's assistance. If they go there and they recognize the person, they can contact us or send us an email to give us a few leads. And the county may be able to link to that website. Mm-hmm. But that's about the best information that I can provide to you.
Well, they would be able to take those things to the dump, would they not?
Yes.
I mean, that's a solution. That's not that difficult.
It is.
Well, they have to pay a little bit, the weight.
Well, it's not, when you do the math just for the first time, you understand that it's more economical to do it the right way than to do it my way.
Do you have funding? I mean, if you needed to add cameras, do you have funding usually in your budget to add cameras?
Sure.
I was talking to Mr. Lawson about that earlier. I have cameras still in boxes that I haven't had a chance to use yet. It's the personnel. It's the time to devote to this that's the problem. Everybody, when they find out about this program, they want one in front of their house, and we want to be able to give it to them. But we don't have the staffing or the time enabled to do that.
Okay. And so, what is your staff again? How many?
We have 10 statewide, yes.
Oh, statewide.
Statewide.
Mm-hmm. I hope Sussex has more. We have a lot more land.
Yes. Any more questions?
They're looking for volunteers, Joe.
Oh, are they saying?
Thank you very much for coming now.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you.
Do we want to have our guys dovetail in with like Eddie?
I think you should ask them that road. I mean,
okay.
I think we will now, we advertised a 10:15 public hearing. We're now past that. We'll go to public hearing on the agenda. Mr. Moore, if you would read the short title, and then Mr. Lawson and your able-bodied team can present your budget.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. This is the time and place when that is scheduled for a public hearing. There's going to be two ordinances and assessment rules for sewer and water districts that are going to be discussed each individually. At the time that we have the public hearing, we'll ask the appropriate county official to give a short explanation to the council. Council will have an opportunity to ask questions. After that, it will be opened up for a public hearing